Okay, let's go to chapter 21 and talk about myeloid neoplasms. For this category, you got to talk about AML. Very common on the exam. Acute myelogenous leukemia, again, is going to be composed of blast cells. You'll see blast cells in the blood and blast cells in the bone marrow. Again, you need greater than 30% to confirm the diagnosis. These patients tend to be in their middle ages when they present. They tend to present, again, with a marrow infiltrative disorder. In other words, they'll be anemic, they'll be thrombocytopenic, they'll have recurrent infections because they don't have any neutrophils. That's the characteristic presentation. It also the onset tends to be very, very rapid. Okay, to make the diagnosis, you got to see the blasts. The blast cells this time are myeloblasts. So what markers can we use to stain them? Well, they're myeloid cells, so they will always have in their cytoplasm myeloperoxidase. It's a great marker. Another great marker is Sudan B black. That will also be positive. Now, under the microscope, these blast cells are very large cells. In their cytoplasm, you can often see all these myeloperoxidase granules. Another thing that you can commonly see are hour rods. If you see hour rods, you've clinched the diagnosis of AML. It's pathognomonic. Okay, let's look at the classification in your handout. It's called the French-American-British classification of AML. And there are many subtypes. It's about 8 in total. The ones I want you to focus on and are most highly tested are M3. M3 is also known as promyelocytic leukemia. The reason why they can ask about this one is because there's a lot of hour rods in the cytoplasm. The other thing they can test you on is M3 commonly will develop DIC, so they can test your knowledge of DIC as well. And finally, they tend to have a characteristic translocation. It's translocation 15-17. On 15 is the PML gene. On 17 is the retinoic acid receptor gene. Now, why is this important? Because the way we're going to treat M3 is different. We can use all trans retinoic acid to mature these cells. It's the only one we can use that for. The next variant that they'll ask about from time to time is M4 and M5. Those are the monocytic variants. Now, these are important because they tend to involve the gingiva, the skin, and the CNS. That's their tropism. In fact, in the skin, they can often form large masses, large tumors. We call those chloromas. Chloro, because when you cut it, it has a green color. Oma just means mass. It's just a collection of myeloblasts in the soft tissues. Okay, another variant which they've asked about in the past is M7. This is the megakaryocytic leukemia variant. These blast cells tend to be huge. The other thing that makes this unique is, since you have megakaryocytes, you tend to have fibrosis of the bone marrow and develop a myelofistic process. So myelofibrosis, think of M7. Okay, let's move on to another group of diseases, the myeloproliferative syndromes. Two big ones in this category. First of all, we'll start off with the general rules. The myeloproliferative syndromes have in common a proliferation of a clonal stem cell, a myeloid stem cell. So all of the myeloid cells are increased in all these diseases. If you look in the bone marrow, it's hypercellular. If you look in the peripheral blood, it tends to be hypercellular as well. And finally, you cannot tell the different myeloproliferative syndromes apart based on a biopsy of the bone marrow. You need more clinical information. So let's talk about the two most important in this category. The first one is CML, chronic myelogenous leukemia. Again, this is a stem cell defect, and there is a classic translocation the board expects you to know. It's translocation 922, the Philadelphia chromosome. Remember, on chromosome 9, there's the c-Abl oncogene. On 22 is BCR. The other thing that's characteristic about CML is clinically, these patients will come in and say, "Doc, I have a dragging sensation in my abdomen." They feel a dragging sensation because they have massive splenomegaly. Very characteristic for CML. On peripheral blood smear, you'll see a proliferation of myeloid cells. They look mature. You'll have a lot of PMNs, polys. You'll see a lot of bands, And you might also see myelocytes. Not myeloblasts, myelocytes. These are all relatively mature cells. Okay? The thing that's unique about them is they are malignant. They are not normal. So on the boards, they often want you to tell the difference between an infection versus CML. In infection, these cells are normal. They're proliferating. You're having this left shift. Each of these cells are going to have a lot of alkaline phosphatase. So the LAP score, the leukocyte alkaline phosphatase scores in an infection will be sky high. In CML, these are malignant cells. So these malignant cells do not contain alkaline phosphatase. So the LAP score will be incredibly low. That's going to be one of the clues for the diagnosis. To confirm it, you do karyotype and look for the Philadelphia chromosome. One other great pointer on the exam is the level of the leukocytosis. In an infection, a normal infection, your white count may go up to 15, 20, maybe 30,000. In CML, the white count is characteristically over 100,000. Very, very high. Okay, how do you treat it? Well, we try to control this disease with hydroxyurea. And the course of this disease tends to be 4 or 5 years in a chronic phase. Then it starts to move to an accelerated phase. And finally, the last 3 or 4 months, it turns into a blastic phase, where basically it's transformed into an acute leukemia, most commonly AML. Okay, the other one I want to talk about is polycythemia vera. Again, this is a myeloproliferative disorder. All of the cells are proliferating. The characteristic finding, though, is the red cell proliferation. They tend to have a large red cell mass. The hematocrit is increased. The blood becomes very viscous, and they're at increased risk for thrombosis. In the peripheral blood, if you measure the level of erythropoietin, it's actually decreased. But these clonal cells have they're more sensitive to the erythropoietin, so they tend to proliferate even though the EPO levels are low. Another thing I want you to remember is that eosinophils are increased, basophils are increased. They can have increased histamine production from the basophils and have itching and gastric ulcers. The LAP score will be elevated. And then finally, the complications. These patients are at increased risk of developing thromboses, both DVTs and pulmonary emboli. Another thing that's important is, since you've got so much red cell production, the red cells lyse, and you have all that uric acid production, these patients are at increased risk of developing gout. Finally, what's the end stage? The spent phase is called myelofibrosis, where the bone marrow becomes fibrotic, and you start to have extramedullary hematopoiesis within the liver and spleen. Last thing to remember is that all the myeloproliferative diseases have an increased risk of transforming into leukemias. That will complete the myeloid neoplasm section.